Acts chapter 4, verse 31 through verse 37. I've titled this word, All In. I think that's I use that term, I think when sometimes these poker games, when a guy pushes his whole stack in, he says, I'm all in. And I'm here to tell you this morning, unless you're all in, you may as well be all out. Starting in verse 31, Acts 4, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I'd wonder this morning if you're all in, or whether you've kept back a part. I'd say that most I've ever met, they all have. They've all kept back a part. They've all had aspects of their lives that they've kept back. I heard Brother James preach many years ago about the key. A man gave everything, but he had one key left in his pocket, and he just wouldn't give up that one key. And I found that the absolute number one hindrance, and God mentions this, he tells you who your enemy shall be. Do y'all remember who that is?
Family.
That's what God said, family. And I found that to be true immediately upon finding the Lord. Those I thought that would be most joyed by my salvation, by my conversion, it didn't turn out that way at all. Matter of fact, I believe they'd have had me go back into sin. I believe they preferred the old man. Husband, wife, children. You see, your very life independent of the body, the church. And God won't have that. He will not have it. And he declares it throughout Scripture. The brethren. And this very issue, it caused the deepest rift that we've ever had in this body. The doctrine of separation. I believe that probably maybe some of you think we are a body. I do not believe we are. I don't think we're a body. And I believe that this entire book proves otherwise. Because we see a body here. Here's the best example right here. An hour a week doesn't make a body. If you think an hour a week, if you only spend an hour a week with your family, if you only spend an hour a week at your job, that would just be a trivial visit. An hour a week does not a body make. You know, it also says, if you turn back a couple chapters to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 through verse 47, it says, and all that believed were together. Now look, and they had all things common. They were together, and they had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And that's very important, singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. Once all things common. And they met how often?
Daily.
Every single day. We meet 1 hour a week, if that, and declare a body. You see, you can't fake a body. Denominations, they attempt to do, they orchestrate all sorts of activities and they get much ado and they claim, well, we're a body, you know, because maybe they have a ball team or maybe whatever. But a body they are not. They are far from all things common, as really we are. We see these are examples of living in singleness of heart. I'd ask how and who you want to spend your life with. Who do you want your children to grow up around? I mean, these are very important questions. Who do you want to spend your time with? And who do you want your family to spend their time with? If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul spoke in verse 12, and he was talking, and he said, "Oh, ye Corinthians," in 11, and he was pleading with them, and in verse 11, "Our mouth is open unto you, and our hearts enlarged." He said, "Now look, ye are not straitened in us." You're not all in. You're not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. And he speaks, it's their decision. It's their decision. Ye are straitened in your own bowels. Not in us. Your own. And then he said in verse 13, "Now for a recompense in the same," and he said, "Now look, I speak as unto my children." Do you see that? "Be ye also enlarged." You know, you can direct a child. And by direct a child, and especially at the age of the children we have here, and those in this range, and all the way up through a certain age, and pretty much their life is a direction of yes or no. I mean, pretty much you could raise a child with two words, yes or no. But it's that child that makes that decision. I'm watching it before my very eyes. He tells him no, and he tells him no, and he reaches. He tells him yes, and he tells him. But that child, he is making that decision. You see, he either obeys or he doesn't. It's true with the men you deal with. You tell them you can do this and you can't do this, and you. And I see it in the workplace where I, and you, but those people, they make, and God gives us those decisions. You see? Last Lord's Day, we spoke of members in particular. You remember? Now, where's that in our midst? I don't find it. When I was receiving this word, I was reminded. We were talking before we spoke this morning of the last time that I preached on separation. I was reminded of a 17-year-old girl running, not walking, running. She was fleeing, just like Poe. She was fleeing the city of destruction, leaving family, not walking. Do you know why? She belonged to a body. She missed her body. She missed having all things common. She left every possession and every loved one, forsaking all. for Christ. It was only a desire for Christ. And because she had Christ, as all I've truly met, that truly, she fled. It was all she could do. It's all that you and I can do. She fled. You look at verse 14 in 2 Corinthians. Say, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do you see? We preach it. I've watched men preach it for years, but they are. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? He's asking. I'm asking. And he said in verse 17, wherefore, okay, well, what do I do about it? He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my son, and sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you see that? That's total. That's all in. We've had mostly adults these years who've never done that. All the years of this work. There was a devout man in Acts chapter 10 named Cornelius of the Italian band, if you remember. And the Bible says that he feared God and that he prayed always and that he gave much alms. But we know from Acts chapter 11, verse 14, that he wasn't saved until Peter showed up. He had done all those things. He was the most religious man. Fellow you'd want to be around, trustworthy, a centurion. But he wasn't saved until Peter showed up. We heard the good report last week of the 700, now maybe even 800, who attended the conference with Brother David down there in Puebla, Mexico. Most of those folks, they said they're what we know is poor, just barely able to get by. They're trying to, 100 or so of them have a building where they try to have a church service, and Brother Robert said they can't afford the rent. They've gone up to $100 to $125 on rent. We spend that on a meal. You see, many of them were so poor to even. Even try to make this journey. So why did, for the brethren, to see the brethren, the body. Would you know that we had people, when we started this work, right here, this is where we started, and we had people that drove from Padre Island, 90 miles one way. Do you know why? The body. They wanted to be part of the body. They wanted to come to church. They wanted to be part of the body. We drive further than that every day. All the time. For all sorts. We'll drive 60 miles to go buy something at Sam's Club, you see. So, if you take all that into account, how could we possibly have prophets, teachers, and apostles? Because we've got body parts scattered to the four winds. This came to the forefront in the past couple weeks several times and spoke to many about it. Did you know that soon in this country there'll be no, what we know, like we grew up with, farms or ranches? Do you know that's coming to an end?
It's all commercialized.
Well, you live on a, in Texas it'd be a small ranch, somewhere else it'd be huge, okay? And that piece of property started out as how many acres? Six? Two?
No, like, two or so.
200 and something acres, right? And then it was split two ways. And then now it's going to be split one, two, three, four, five ways, okay? I know a man and the huge ranch, and this ranch started out with 8,000 acres. 8,000 acres. And now each member, and I'm talking about in the 1800s, so now let's say 100 years later, well, a little over 100 years later, they barely have 400 acres apiece because cousins and brothers and sisters. And these farms, the same reason the churches, they split. The children move away. They don't want to be farmers. They don't want to be ranchers. That's why we don't have hardly have any carpenters or plumbers. They don't want to do that. Why do they want to do that? They can sit in front of a computer screen with a keyboard, you see. Who wants to sweat? You see, they don't want to be members in particular. I mean, it's just the truth. You see? They don't want all things common. And they have no desire to be all in. They want to live their own life and they want to do their own thing, you see? And you know what's all? It's always about money. Always about money. They don't want to part with it. And that's why we've got so many in the churches and even in our own midst. They worry and fret, and they worry and fret. The world and the issues of the day. All these things that plague the natural man. Do you know why? You're not all in. You've still got some on your side of the table. You're not all in. Was Christ all in? I'm asking you. Was Christ Jesus all in?
Yes.
Would he leave anything? They even took his clothes off at the cross. For who? For himself? No. What did they say? A man will scarcely even die for his friends. And he died for me. Perhaps for you. So why must you worry? If Christ did that, why must you worry? Why must your heart be troubled? Because you lean into your own understanding and you yet give thought for tomorrow. Now, what are we preaching all in? You see, you know what that is? You're holding back a part. You've got something that you've hold back. You're holding back that you're not giving to the Lord. Keeping back a part. And you can't say you aren't because you are. Even if it be yourself. Because in truth, that's all we really can give. God's not interested in my money. He said, look whose picture's on it. You see? Worries and fears of our own. But they're yours. You know, my feet never wonder where my head's going to lead them. Do you ever think about that? My feet never wonder where my head's going to lead it. Your feet ever ask you where you're going today? No. No. Your feet ever tell you that they're hungry, thirsty? Mine are telling me they hurt. Okay? But my feet, wherever, that's where they're going, you see. They're all in as they're physically able. My hands and my feet. I preached a message one time years ago about hands and feet. Did you know that? Really, about hands. Everything. Now, you try to imagine. Doesn't matter how smart you are, you could be the dumbest or the smartest. But without these. You remember what they used to do, the kings in the Old Testament? They'd catch a king and they after a war. And they wouldn't kill him.
Cut his thumbs off.
And his big toes. They cut his big toes off and cut his thumbs off and go, okay, you can go now. You can empty the prisons. We could solve the prison problem. Say, you want to be free? It's going to cost you 4 digits, 2 thumbs, and 2 big toes. But you're free to go. You see. All in. You know, marriage is the same, or to be the same. The woman should never have, you hear me, men? Should never have to give thought to where and how she shall eat, sleep, or drink. Not ever. And if she does, it's because the head has fallen down. Or what she'll wear, or what she's going to do today. She's got a head even as Christ is the head of the church. And that comes back to you and I, men. But maybe you don't know of the, unless you're in a body, you can't know these things. Unless you're a member in particular. Unless you take your cup, as we spoke last week. Now, you might fool the preacher, but you're not going to fool the Lord. David said in the 139th Psalm, he said, "Thou understandest my thought afar off." What a glorious thing. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." That's what he said. "Search me, Lord. Try my heart and know my thoughts." You see, who would make such a cry? One who was all in. He was all in. He was holy to the Lord. And I mean, W-H-O-L-L-Y. He was holy, all in. A man after God's own heart. Shall you ever run that mile to the door of the tabernacle? I'm reminded of it all the time, and I didn't run the mile. Or on the roof. On the roof. The 17-year-old girl. She would go up on the roof. Fiddle her on the roof. Why? To be separate. To be all in. Remember that fervor? All in. Didn't matter what it cost. Mother. Father, brother, sister, possession. No, I'm all in. All in. And I'd say almost assuredly that most in this small meeting are yet to be all in. All in for you and yours, yes, always. But not the body. You know, there's an often overlooked verse in our text back in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. It said, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And look, and great grace was upon them all. You wonder how they could do that, sell everything and have all things common? The great power of the resurrection, the great resurrection power, and the great grace that was upon them. And those who truly realized this great power and this great grace, you can't but be all in. I started a work yesterday by Martin Lloyd-Jones, The Authority of God. The church has lost its authority. And it has. True repentance is all in. It's a total surrender. I'm always reminded when I do a message of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, and he says, "Will a man rob God?" Isn't that? And will a man rob God? And yet God's the first that I've known most men to rob. He's the very first one. They'll rob God before they'll rob a comrade, someone they work with, someone they know. They'll rob God first. They don't tithe, they don't offer. He says, how can you say we've robbed God? He says, in your tithes and offerings. I'm in contact all week with men that profess Christ. You'd never know it from the way they talk or live, but they profess Christ. You can ask them, and they'll tell you, yes. But they don't even offer the tenth. They don't tithe, and they don't offer. They rob God. They profess Christ, and they rob God. Will a man rob God? Ha! In every way. How many women do you know that give all their possessions to their husbands? You ever think about that? Marriage is the perfect type of almost every salvation, almost everything. How many women you know that give all their possessions to their husbands? Everything they've got. Few, if any. Are we not the bride? I received a glorious scripture yesterday from a friend of mine. I haven't seen him in years and years. And it was Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. And it said, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. And he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." But we rob him? We're not all in? I don't know any other way. You see, I'm an all-in guy. I mean, I'm not, I'm either all in or all out. I'm hot or cold. You remember the Lord said in Revelation chapter 3, he said, "I would thou wert cold or hot." I'd rather you be cold or hot. I can't speak for the rest of you, but I'm going to tell you that two that I know for sure, the boy and I, Brother Travis and I, we're very fortunate indeed to have the brides that we have. Because our women are all in to their husbands. I'm sure there are others, but I'm just speaking of the two that I know of. Now, when shall we be all in? Now, the religious aren't. But the truly born again can be nothing but all in. It's the only way they know. It's their nature, the great power, the great grace. And it's a glorious thing. But you'll never know until you let go. You must let go. I texted some men some scripture this week in 2 Peter chapter 2. Some of you, I believe, might have received it. Second Peter 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. And I fear that too many are yet in bondage. Maybe some of you. You're yet in bondage to the world. You're bound up. When you find the parable of the sower, and that third seed fell, and it sprang up with joy, and it came up, and it was praising God, but the cares and the troubles of this world got a hold of that thing, and it couldn't bring forth fruit. It wasn't all in. He said, "Come out from among them." You're either cold or hot. I pray you're not lukewarm. All in. You're either all in or you're not. Christ accepts only all. He told the rich young ruler, "Sell all you got. All of it." I can speak as a testimony that my bag always had a hole in it. Always had a hole in it. No matter what I'd put in it, had a hole in it. Until I gave even the bag away. Saul of Tarsus, he was all in when he declared, "Lord, what wilt thou have me do?" Isn't that really all? Lord, what wilt thou have me? I believe most men, they're afraid to utter those words because they might not like what he tells them to do. Brother Charles cried out when he heard him, "Go to Mexico." Oh, anywhere but Mexico. I cried out when I heard him, "Oh, anybody but the Sodomites. I don't want to go speak to them." Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Are you all in for the Lord?